Leafs Nation postgame.
Let's go!
Brought to you by your local GTA Acura dealers. Visit yours today.
Johnson now. Andreas Johnson. Down the right side. Cuts to the middle. Mishandled the puck. Shoots and scores! Andreas Johnson on the 11th round of a shootout. And the Maple Leafs are going to win the game. The longest shootout in Leaf history.
Unbelievable. 11 rounds later, Andreas Johnson potting the shootout winner. Even Rocky would be impressed with the 11 rounds there. Leafs 4, Flyers 3 from Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590. The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you. Aptly put, Gord. The Sam McKee kiss of death tonight after he was just sort of gloating that this game was going along so quickly. OT was long, the shootout even longer tonight.
You never verbalize things like a shutout or no hitter. You keep it to yourself, or I trust Sam has friends elsewhere. He can email them.
Doubtful.
So he mentions in the first period, man, in the second period, man, this game's flying along. And it was flying along. And then screech. It just came to a very slow, long game. Full overtime, though. Most shootout rounds, as Joe Bowen said, ever since 2005 when the shootout started and Jason Allison went down 1 mile per hour at first ever Leafs shootout,
yes.
Inexplicably. 14 years later, this is the longest. So it then ends up being exciting. We'll forgive Sam about that. This is a real nice win for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I know you can say shootouts are gimmicky and all those things. Freddie Anderson saved their ass. And they came through for Freddie Anderson. This is what solid goaltending is about. This is the team that really needs points. They started the night out of a playoff spot. Okay, I know it's very early, but you want to start banking some points. And this ends up, even though it's a shootout, being a really nice win for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
You are correct, Gord Stellick. As per usual, a win is a win is a win. Shout out to the one friend Sam does have in Owen Sound, Ontario, by the way. A big win for the Maple Leafs. Back on the winning track here with a 4-3 shootout win against the Philadelphia Flyers. Gord, we're almost at a point where Marty Marincin was about to shoot. 11 shooters it took.
Yeah, and it was kind of interesting how late Johnson went, how late Morgan Rielly went. And I was looking forward to it on both sides. Both the Philadelphia Flyers and Toronto Maple Leafs would have guys that never dreamt of getting on the ice. There were only two other shootout goals before that. Travis Konecny put the heat on Jason Spezza, who scored. So in the previous 10 rounds, only one of 10 scored on both sides. That was great that Spezza, because he gets the one goal, his first goal as a Leaf tonight, you know, filling in for John Tavares. He took two unfortunate penalties, and then that he scores in the shootout where Philadelphia fans and Gritty were getting set to celebrate. So, you know, nice on Jason Spezza to keep the shootout going. I like that Johnson came with speed. This is the shootout we can probably analyze the most.
Yes.
But so many guys came slowly down the ice. There weren't a lot coming with speed. And, of course, we enjoyed the radio coverage, the TV coverage, our friends in Hockey Night in Canada. They had great cutaways after each attempt of either Flyer fans or Leaf fans just living and dying with every shot.
It's so fascinating to me because we always talk about Nikita Kucherov and the move, quite frankly, he's made famous and how wicked he looks of a hockey player when he attributes and does that move. On the contrary, when you're not effective in scoring said move, you look like a complete imbecile, in my opinion. It happened twice here in the shootout. Auston Matthews, but Dmytro Timoshov, the attempt, too.
Yeah, the veteran kid, in a way, and the new kid.
Yeah.
And by the way, I thought Timoshov didn't play a lot of minutes, but I liked the way he played early on that. But yeah, and one of the comments was, it's a highlight reel, but you look pretty foolish because you don't get even a decent chance off. So I don't know. You know, it's one that you really, really got to have a good vibe. It's going to work.
So a 4-3 win in the shootout for the Maple Leafs. Andreas Johnson, the winner. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you on Leafs Nation postgame. I think you referenced it off the top here of the postgame show. Frederik Andersen, I don't want to say he stole that game, but after a very, very strong first period by the Maple Leafs, he was far and away their best player, Gord.
Well, as they talked about, the Leafs outshot the Flyers 10-1 to open the game. And after that, it was 39-16, okay? 2.5 shots to 1 the Philadelphia Flyers had. It's those timely saves. It's why that whole chasm between the starting goaltender and backup goaltender for the Toronto Maple Leafs at this point seems to be rather big, rather large. So you've got to try to fill that void with some decent backup goaltending, because Freddie, You know, it's one thing if he didn't, you know, the Leaf fans are ready when they couldn't settle a number one goaltender for the Andrew Raycroft and Vesa Toskala and Jonathan Bernier era, like someone taking it and running with it. I know Raycroft did for a little while. James Reimer did the best of anybody out there. But so at least having a number one guy is huge. And tonight was just it, the timely big saves. And, you know, there were just so many. Again, Mitch Marner, that goal he got on the Marner wraparound, like we saw, and a great defensive play as well. So even though Mitch Marner's stats have been not bad, we have not seen the Mitch Marner we're used to seeing, the guy that can be a game breaker. And all of a sudden, like late in the second period, in the third period, he did a few of those things, which is good to see.
It was very vintage Mitch Marner, that play, in the way he hounded the puck, utilized his speed, worked the defenseman to the outside, and the old wraparound. Yeah, that he's been successful at like multiple times in his career, right? And that's I think he was more engaged in this game as it went going. And it's amazing, you look at superstar players and players in general in this league, how much confidence you can build off scoring a goal. It went right to his legs, I felt.
Well, I mean, that's one that you mentioned, the gimmicky goals guys try in the shootout. That's one that you see so many people try at all levels without success. Like, he's one of the few guys with the skill, with the speed in that can do that, because don't think goaltenders don't know what you're going to try to do in that. But when you have that kind of skill and you're able to outspeed, outmaneuver, outskill the goaltender, like, I don't know, what is it? 2% of the players can do what Mitch Marner did tonight.
Meantime, special teams. It's been a conversation for a big chunk of this early season for the Maple Leafs. I'll call it a work in progress. But again, Mike Babcock, the head coach, went off on it about a week ago. Some of these penalties are just terrible, terrible decisions. Jason Spezza, we mentioned the good, the bad, the ugly in this game, but the stick infractions need to stop, Gord.
Well, they took three penalties in the first 9 minutes of the second period. Too many men on the ice, and then Jason Spezza took two. And again, when I say ill-advised, because there's things like you can do things to prevent a goal, prevent a scoring chance, all these kinds of things. None of them were like that, and you're right. And the problem was the first two power play opportunities the Philadelphia Flyers scored, so the Leafs PK wasn't all that great. And the Leafs power play, again, hasn't been able to finish off. It's been doing some neat wizardry. It just never gets that final shot away. And the other part, and that's why, you know, tonight's a big win, Nick, is the other night, two penalties in overtime. You rarely see penalties in 3-on-3 overtime. And the Leafs had two against Washington, and again, one tonight. Morgan Rielly gets one, and the Leafs did a heck of a job killing that off. So, I mean, there's been that kind of adversity in overtime for the Maple Leafs, having to kill off 4-on-3 situations.
The Maple Leafs, by the way, now 3-2-2 without John Tavares in the lineup, and we'll see if he does return maybe as soon as Tuesday night at home to the Los Angeles Kings. Another thing I felt the Maple Leafs were dominated was in the faceoff circle, Gord, in this game. 61% the Flyers won of the draws, 39% for the Maple Leafs. But that said, they did win a couple of notable ones in overtime when they took that penalty. Kasperi Kapanen the trip, and it was Nick Shore, the veteran center, I guess we can call him, coming up large, because that's massive. And we often joke and chuckle about puck possession in this day and age, but especially when it's you know, you're down less than man, it's 4-on-3 in OT. You clearly want to win some draws here.
Yeah, and overall, Nick Shore was 4-5, so he was under 50%, but those were just a couple of critical ones. Yeah, because when they were killing the penalties off, And Freddie Gauthier's done a pretty good job doing that, but he wasn't able to. And, of course, part of it is which side, and the Flyers got to pick the side to start because they're going the power play. But, yeah, those were just and mentioned that Mitch Marner had lost the draw against Washington that set up that goal. How huge they are, but particularly huge they are in the 3-on-3 overtime. Like, quite often, if there's not penalties, you hardly see any face-offs, you know, but this one, because you're trying to kill a penalty, you saw a lot of them.
Look, I'll say this game was cruising right along, and then Sam McKee had to open his mouth. Meantime, so again, no Jake Muzzin in this game, so obviously some elevated minutes. Somehow we saw the return of the NHL of Marty Marincin, Gord. He played 16:24 in this game. Granted, OT, we didn't see him out there, but Cody Ceci, 28:03. Unsurprisingly as well, Morgan Rielly, 30:05. Justin Hall, 16:54, and Travis Dermott just 12:04 in this hockey game.
Yeah, and in fairness, Marty Marincin played okay.
Yeah, I agree.
There were some moments, but he played okay. And Justin Hall, I think he was +2. Again, plus minus can be a bit of an unfair stat. Travis Dermott was +3, so that's nice to see. And he only had 12 minutes, 4 seconds, because they're trying to assimilate him in slowly. Who had 7 hits here? Where's the 7?
Cody Ceci.
Seven hits. There you go. I'm just looking at the stats. So 7 of the 28 hits were by Cody Ceci. He's really played real solid the last couple of games. You know, kind of finding
taxi minutes at that, though.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, Tyson Berry's the guy. You're a little more surprised that he's had a more difficult time finding his way, you know, just fitting in the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Cody Ceci has has kind of found his way the last couple of games.
He has. So special teams in this one, again, if we're just tuning in, a 4-3 shootout win for the Maple Leafs. 11th round, Andreas Janssen finally ices it. It's Nick Alberga, Gord Stellick, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailer. So the shots on goal, 40-26 in favor of the Flyers. Again, the big-time storyline, the Leafs starting on time. They dominated Philadelphia, the team on the back-to-back in the first period. After that, Philadelphia found its way just a tad, and the Maple Leafs got into some severe penalty trouble in the second period. But all in all, you weather the storm, certainly against a team you don't factor, or don't think at least you're going to factor in when it comes to playoff positioning. You get that extra point on the road, and the Maple Leafs scored can build off this, because we talked about it almost ad nauseum on Leafs Nation pregame, how most of the month of November will be spent on the road, 9 of 14 games away from Scotiabank Arena, but they got a couple of home games coming this week.
Yeah, and we've talked about it quite a bit. Last year, they were the third best road record in the NHL, so it seems they're fine on the road. I'd like to see them make home a little bit more difficult if they can. But anyway,
House of pain, if you will.
Yeah, make it a bit of a house of pain at Scotiabank Arena. But the other part is these back-to-backs that I'm tired of talking. The New York Islanders just proved it again. Montreal did it earlier this week. Boston Bruins did it last weekend. About a back-to-back win, a supposedly tired team against a rested team, and winning both games that way. But Mike Babcock said it before the game. He goes, we have this set up the best all season. Had got a couple practices in, got some rest in. Dave Haxtell, the former Flyer coach and now Leaf assistant, took him to apparently the best Philly steak sandwich place going. So everything was on fire for the Maple Leafs. No John Tavares, no Jason Muzzin, no Zach Hyman, but injuries part of the game. Otherwise, everything set up nice for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight.
You mentioned Dave Haxtell, the former bench boss of the Philadelphia Flyers. Think he had some money on the board in this one? Is that still a thing in the NHL? Or is that your era?
What do you mean it's my era? It's a thing in the NHL now. Thing in the NHL now. I got money on the board. How long you're going to last here?
Oh,
yeah, but
I love you,
Gordon, yes,
you're the best.
But that meant
a lot to him, didn't it?
Yes. It's interesting. He's a guy that came out of college, NCAA, and Jim Montgomery's a guy in Dallas having probably a little bit of pressure there. David Quinn, of course, big contract with the New York Rangers, but he hasn't been able to turn it around easily as well. So you give up those college kids, and of course he coached Jonathan Toews and guys like that. This Haxtell did in North Dakota. Those are really cushy, secure gigs to give up.
They are.
You know,
but you can have a lifelong contract.
Oh yeah,
if you want.
But you understand. You know, when you're making the jump, and generally head coaches now can get assistant coaching jobs somewhere else. I mean, Mark Crawford, that's kind of what he's slotted as now. You know, when you run your course, you can do that. So, but I think, yeah, he would find, you always do. You always do the first time back.
Cheesesteaks on the board, maybe.
Cheesesteaks on the board.
That's probably
right.
What happened
right
before the game. They're like, hey, I'll buy you these, but then you got to win a hockey game for
yes
me.
And then the nutritionist comes in and says you can't eat them.
Until after the game. So the Flyers, or the Maple Leafs, excuse me, I should say, a 4-3 shootout win against the Philadelphia Flyers here. Another thing I noticed just going down the list, and it is a work in progress. Don't forget, we're about 15 games into this season. Rearing its ugly head again in this one, Gord. Their inability to get the puck out of their zone. And at times, it just seems simple. Put it off the glass. Hal Gill made a career of putting the puck off the glass. They're really, really struggling to find that chemistry. The short passes keep bouncing off sticks, not going in the right areas. But they got to clean that stuff up.
Well, and we also saw what they didn't like when Alexander Ovechkin, I don't even know if Ovi realized how he was speaking, but basically
it's just Ovi,
the sermon, according to Ovi on Tuesday, but just about the fact that some flybys as well. And Matthews, Nylander, Marner all had a significant flyby that you don't notice because it happens generally in the offensive zone where you got a chance just to hold a guy up, negate, whatever, so he doesn't have full speed coming down. And that's one. And again, getting the puck out of your zone is the other. And those are the kind of team concepts that have to be worked on and improved if you are going to win a Stanley Cup. Now, last year, the Stanley Cup champions at this time of the year didn't have that stuff figured out because they were dead last, as we know, starting the new year. So it's about getting that stuff figured out and playing your best possible hockey game number 83. But you also have to be at game number 82 in the playoffs. And right now, the Maple Leafs aren't one of those teams that have a lot of breathing room right now.
They're nowhere near the team we suspected, projected for this season. Again, if you want to talk about excuses or factors, John Tavares not in this lineup. Jake Muzzin, those are two pretty instrumental pieces. Zach Hyman. But I think over the next week, we might get an indication more so of what this Maple Leafs team could look like.
Yeah, well, with John Tavares back will be huge. And, you know, him and Marner hadn't quite had the mojo they had last year. I mean, that was just phenomenal mojo. They worked from game one to game number 82. But it's what's been... And I don't get too upset, but a little bit disconcerting is Jeff Merrick asked me a question. I found a hard time to answer it the other day about the most disappointing part of the Maple Leafs is, and he said, fill in the blank. And you start thinking about all these different components. But mine right now is looking at it, and I believe they're not as right now in the same power number in the Eastern Conference like they were a year ago. Mainly because of the improvement of a lot of other teams, like New York Islanders and Carolina aren't one-year wonders, and Washington and Boston are better teams, right? They're the Boston made it to the finals last year in the East. Washington won the Cup the year before, and you're hoping the Leafs can catch and surpass those teams. Tampa Bay, by the way, it's funny. They're having a slow start as well, but I think Tampa Bay Lightning don't mind that as because they last year they just kind of raced to that finish line, so they just want to maybe chill a bit and have a more even season and get ramped up for the playoffs.
The New York Islanders, by the way, have won 9 games in a row after taking down the Buffalo Sabres, who have lost back-to-back games. So certainly, I think you're right. In the Atlantic Division, a lot of the teams ahead of the Maple Leafs are just not losing games right now. And you mentioned it going into tonight's action. Tampa wasn't in a playoff spot. The Maple Leafs as well. Montreal had flopped ahead with last night, too. So the Maple Leafs had to get playing. I know we always like to say it's early, Gord, but at some point in time in November, it's not going to be early anymore.
Last season, they finished 4 points ahead of the Montreal Canadiens.
Crazy.
That's all, the Maple Leafs,
you know.
So, again, banking points becomes important.
We're just getting started here on Leafs Nation. Post-game, other side, we're going to bring in from Wells Fargo Center. Hopefully, he's not interrupted by that gritty character who interrupted Kyle Bukauskas on Hockey Night in Canada. Luke Fox from Wells Fargo Center in Philly after a 4-3 shootout win for your Toronto Maple Leafs. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Blue and white at night. We own the night. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
It was a long bout, but the Maple Leafs finally got the job done. 11th round of the shootout. Andreas Johnsson, the shootout winner, 4-3 win in Philadelphia against the Flyers. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you on Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. And to come here in mere moments, Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca will drop by and get his thoughts and his takes. But certainly one of my takeaways as we get to Luke here, Gord, is Frederik Andersen was massive in this hockey game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great goaltending, solid goaltending, just what you wanted. We'll say it over and over again. That's Freddie's strength. The battles, he wins games for you, and that doesn't show up so much in the statistics.
All right, right now let's go to Wells Fargo Center and welcome in the one and only Luke Fox. And I'm sure you'd have to agree with those sentiments. Frederik Andersen, one of his best games of the year, no?
Yeah, he was fantastic. You know, Mike Babcock said maybe there was one of the early goals that he let in that he'd probably like to have back, but then he said enough's enough, and that's exactly what it felt like. The Flyers just kept coming. The Leafs were outshot. They took way too many penalties, and Freddie Andersen was the best penalty killer, and he shut it down. And then, of course, in the shootout, you know, they don't win the game without him making, what was it, 10 saves in the shootout?
Yeah,
pretty ridiculous performance that way.
Yeah,
so kudos to
Freddie. Longest shootout the Maple Leafs have ever been involved in, 11 rounds tonight, and we don't very often dissect the shootout, Luke. But in tonight, you know what was weird is I thought, did these guys all look at that Jason Allison video of 14 years ago when he went down 1 mile per hour? Like, I was just surprised that at least Andreas Johnsson had some speed coming down. It was just kind of weird. It was like bad shinny hockey at times.
Yeah, and, you know, Mitch Marner made a comment that I think sometimes we forget when we're watching on TV or even up in the press box, is that by that point the ice is really bad because they don't flood before overtime. So by the time they get to the shootout, the ice is pretty chewed up. And he said you have to really think beforehand whether it's even worth trying to come in with speed and do a deke, because the puck might bobble on you because of the bad ice, or if you're better off just taking your time and then getting a shot off. So that's something I wasn't thinking about, because I totally agree with you. It looked like there was some really kind of weak, soft attempts, and some guys acting in slow motion. I never understood that, why they don't go at speed and force the goalie to start moving backwards and maybe get him on the move like that.
It's funny too, we saw two attempts from the Maple Leafs, one from Matthews, one from Timoshov, the Kucherov, if you will, and it's sort of intriguing to me how foolish you can look when you don't execute that move, eh?
Well, especially, like I said, on bad ice.
Yeah.
When the ice isn't nice and slick, that's a tough one to pull off, the sort of the no-move move where you just let it slip. I mean, it's going to look great on the highlight reel if you pull it off. But especially Matthews, it was a guy with his shot. It's one of the most, you know, quickest releases in the entire sport. You'd like to see him just zip it top shelf or something.
Yeah, I don't know which beget which, but the fact you get three penalty-killing situations, what, in the first 9 minutes of the second period. So it just kind of puts a wrench in everything, right? All the flow that goes on in that. But it continues to be that same problem. You can call them chintzy penalties. Sometimes they're chintzy calls, but these are real chintzy penalties. Mike Babcock's talked about it. Starts with the too many men on the ice, and man, oh, man, it's just something, whatever practices they have, whatever video sessions they have, the next 65 games, they got to get this stuff in gear, in order, before they hit the playoffs.
It's a real problem. And, you know, it's like Babcock's reached the point where he's fed up talking about it. We asked him about it again because it was a theme. It was a difference maker. You know, they stay out of the box, they probably win the game in regulation, especially after Kapanen, you know, got them off to a hot start, which has also been an issue for them. So they get off to a good start. They own the puck, but then up until the point where they start taking penalties. And Babcock kind of threw up his hands and said, look, if I've talked to you guys, meaning the media, about this before, imagine how many times I've talked to the players about it. So it's a constant issue, and this is more than a one-week trend. We're going on 2-3 weeks here where they're just committing these minor penalties. You know, Spezza kind of redeemed himself a little bit by scoring a goal in regulation and getting a shootout goal. But he said, you know, I took two minor penalties. And that's the kind of thing that really can damage a team. They haven't won a special teams battle in 8 games now. Like, that's an issue.
Yeah, and, the thing about Spezza is, like, the good, the bad, the ugly from Jason Spezza in this game. The Mississauga native finally scoring his first goal as a Maple Leaf, a 4-3 shootout win here for the Leafs in Philadelphia at Wells Fargo Center, joined here by Luke Fox. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. Certainly, I think when you look at this team, we really don't know the final, like, what this roster is going to look like. But have we heard anything else over, you know, what's going to happen over the next couple days when it comes to the likes of John Tavares, Jake Muzzin, and Zach Hyman?
Well, it's ultimately Kyle Dubas's call. The sense is that if it was Mike Babcock's call, and he'll certainly have input, is that Spezza might be the guy on the outs, just because he sees a certain role for him, and that would be the fourth line, and he seems to have settled on Nick Shore on the fourth line. But ultimately, it's Kyle Dubas's say. So it will be really interesting if Shore's the one that goes and Spezza stays. You know, Spezza was asked about it after this game, actually, if that's something that's kind of creeping into his mind, he's on the bubble and he's got a rather uncertain future with this team and possibly the league. I mean, if you're a guy in his shoes and you get put on waivers, like, do you report to the Marlies or do you feel like at that point, you know, I've given all I can to this game, and I'm not prepared to start riding buses at this stage in my life. So it's going to be an interesting story, no matter which way it turns out here, when Hyman's finally ready to go.
And we mentioned, you know, training camp. It was a little puzzling when Mike Babcock created kind of a Jason Spezza storyline that nobody really could understand for a couple of days. Same with, okay, Jake Muzzin. We saw him suffer something, and apparently a Charlie horse with a hit from Tom Wilson. So it's understood that he missed the game. But then he said, Mike Babcock says he's at home for personal reasons. And I respect guys about personal stuff. So I don't know what it means about his possibly playing Tuesday or not.
Yeah, we don't know. And it's a head scratcher. Like, is it just a coincidence that, you know, possibly he has something going on in his personal life that just happened to coincide with the Charlie horse? It's possible. It is odd. You know, since Dubas took over, this team has been very forthcoming with injuries, you know, in terms of announcing them right away and in terms of being more specific than they were under the Lamorello regime. So, you know, right now I'm taking them at their word and that there was some sort of personal reason. But if there wasn't, you could get into a debate of, well, if there wasn't a personal reason, could he be able to play? Because he practiced in a red no-contact sweater. And usually the Leafs like to have guys get a practice with contact before they return. So it remains a question mark heading into Tuesday. But what we do know is that Jake Muzzin is sorely missed, both 5-on-5 and the PK. Martin Marincin is a poor man's Jake Muzzin, to say the least.
I love how we just say Martin Marincin's name now and we just laugh, because that's where we're at when it comes to Martin Marincin. Luke, excellent job. We'll talk next Saturday, okay?
Okay, have a great night, gents.
You as well. It's Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca covering that one. Wells Fargo Center, the Maple Leafs win on the road 4-3 via the shootout. Andreas Janssen getting the thing done in the 11th round. And it's time for the VTech call of the game. When the ultimate Toronto sports getaway with the VTech wake-up call, call 416-413-4141. Leave a message and set your alarms every Friday morning for your chance at the weekly $500 prize to qualify for the grand prize. Visit sportsnet.ca/590 for details.
Janssen now. Andreas Janssen down the right side, cuts to the middle, mishandled, the puck shoots, it scores! Andreas Janssen on the 11th round of a shootout, and the Maple Leafs are going to win the game. The longest shootout in Leaf history.
Another great call there from the Hall of Famer himself, Joe Bowen, on the Leafs radio network. And after 11 excruciating rounds, somebody actually uses speed.
Yeah, that's what was puzzling about that. Everyone came down incredibly slowly.
Allison's speed.
Yeah, there were some embarrassing shots, to be honest with you. There were some nice saves by the goaltenders as well. But and I don't know how often the Joe Bowen call will be the shootout winner, because you don't get to shootouts as often as you used to, although we've had a few of them this year. Usually it's the 3-on-3 overtime winner. And to the Leafs' credit, two consecutive overtimes, they bent and then finally broke against the Washington Capitals, trying to kill off two penalty-killing situations, but they killed one successfully tonight. You don't see many of those in overtime.
Yeah, they got us. Like, that was almost back-to-back games scored where this Maple Leafs team lost in OT on a penalty kill, like on a power play for the opposition. And again, going to the theme of the show, I know they won this game via the shootout, but some of these penalties they're taking, even the Kapanen one in OT, I think ill-advised is probably the proper way to pronounce it and say it was, because it was a trip. He was looking offensively when he should be looking at your own end first.
Yeah, Morgan Rielly, no question about it. You know, and it's funny, the power play, because the Flyers were 2-for-2 at one point. They scored on their first two power play opportunities. And then their power play in overtime, there was no Alexander Ovechkin or John Carlson there.
Yeah.
Like the Washington power play, you were going, oh my God, oh my God.
you know what's coming.
Justin Hall blocked two great shots against Washington, but you know what? 20 more were going to come. And that's and that was what was different, that the shots, Freddie Anderson had a clear view. The players did a good job of keeping the area clean. So there wasn't that kind of spark to the Flyers power play in overtime like they'd had earlier in the game, or certainly like Washington had in overtime the other night.
And we did see a familiar face in front of the net, and he made a custom and a living doing so in Toronto. A guy wears 25 and not 21, as we know, with the retiring of Boreas Salming's 21. But James Van Riemsdyk, and I think you're totally correct in that analysis too. When you look at OT specifically, is, you know, more times than not in the NHL world, if you give the goalie time and space and allotment to see the puck, he's going to stop the puck. And yeah. I think you're totally right. When it comes to Cody Ceci, he was effective in the fact that he played his position, but also allowed his netminder to see the puck go to the net.
Absolutely. And that wasn't like Freddie's toughest work. You know, those weren't the big scoring chances.
Yeah.
So it was nice to give him a bit of a break. Yeah. One-on-one, whether it's Freddie or pretty all NHL goaltenders, you got to find that spot that only guys like Austin Matthews can find on a regular basis.
And I think it's so fascinating, too. We talk about goaltending quite a bit here on the program, and rightfully so, especially in Toronto with Anderson and Michael Hutchinson. It's just more so the timely saves that were made in this game by Frederik Anderson time and time again, especially in OT. You're up against it. You got to bear down on a 4-on-3. And one thing easier said than done to make those saves, but he did the Kevin Hayes save in the second period. Like, it's full value, and this is why you pay him the big bucks, certainly.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And there's still, I mean, when we talk about not being able to clear your own zone, a few too many flybys, a few too many odd man rushes as well, you know, all those little things. And the best The best remedy for that is excellent goaltending.
And as we said in the luxurious boardroom here at Sportsnet Control, you'll take it and move on. The Maple Leafs win it 4-3 via the shootout in Philadelphia, Wells Fargo Center. Let's hear now from the head coach of the Leafs, Mike Babcock.
The game plan is to go 10 shooters in deep. Cappy was just talking about the smiles on Halsey and the goat's face is sort of drifting away as it got deeper and deeper.
Well, we started asking. I mean, the guys were in there doing YouTube review to see who actually scored a goal in the minors. No, I mean, we got a pretty good list. And then as time went on, though, you're starting to wonder where you're going for sure. Obviously, some guys that do a lot of real good things and shootouts weren't as good. Other guys came through for us. That was good for Mango and good for our team. I thought, you know, a real big goal by Mitch, obviously, to get us back in the game.
You get the win, but how concerned are you about the penalties last week?
Well, we've talked about this, right? So if I've talked to you about it, you can bet we've talked about it, and we'll continue to talk about it. I thought we started really good. I thought when we took the three penalties in a row, we got off kilter and got on our heels. And I didn't think we really, to be honest with you, got our game back. And so to me, you got to play longer and harder than the other team. And we were unable to do that. We got ourselves a win, and so feel good about the win. We're set up with a good week here this week. We got to take some steps. And the guys know that, and I know that, and so we got to do a better job.
What happened tonight?
Was their best player, right? You know, and so he was flying. Obviously, has some history here. Wanted to make an impression. Was good. I mean, we had him on multiple lines. I thought he played well.
Spezza said he wanted to be the Swiss Army knife on this team. Have you seen that the last couple of games with Johnny?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, with Johnny out, that's a big. You know, it's a different scenario. But Spezza's trying to do what he can to help out in any way he can. We're talking Spez now?
Yeah,
I mean, just that. The thing that I think he brings the most is he loves hockey. You're like, what's he doing at the rink? You know, sometimes he's a fourth line guy. Sometimes he's scratched. Why the heck would he come to the rink? He loves hockey. Wants to be around the guys. Loves it. And so, you know, what you do is you show the people how much you love hockey and your passion for the game, and I think that's great.
Freddie, your goaltender, just a comment, just how rock solid he was right throughout the entire game.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he would have liked to have their power play goal back, you know, and then, but after that, he was outstanding. And so they didn't have much early. And so, you know, one of the first shots ends up bouncing off Mo and going in. And then you get the other one that goes in. And then he just said enough. And especially, I mean, in the shootout, obviously.
There is Mike Babcock, the head coach of the Maple Leafs, reading in between the lines. It does not sound good once again for Jason Spezza. The guy loves hockey. Last time I checked, every player who plays in this league loves hockey. That said, we'll hit the break. More to come here on Leafs Nation postgame. We'll go into the locker room and break down this 4-3 shootout win for the Buds. 11th round, Andreas Janssen, the difference. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Breaking down what's up.
What's up?
This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Well, that extra hour of sleep will feel that much better tonight because Andreas Janssen potted the 11th round shootout winner. Leafs 4, Flyers 3 from Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Certainly, everything was spearheaded in this game by a strong start by the Maple Leafs in the first period. They took some bad penalties again, but Frederik Andersen outstanding. And to win a hockey game without John Tavares and Jake Muzzin has to feel pretty good in that locker room right now.
Yeah, it really does. Injuries are part of the game, the old cliche. But they just kind of won that. I'm not going to call it ugly at some point, the season getting ugly, but the last 2 years, they've been off to strong starts. You remember that last 2 years, strong starts, banking points early. And
yeah.
You remember 2 years ago, Joel Quenneville was saying, wow, this team's unbelievable.
They're incredible.
Yes. Yeah. And then last year, the whole John Tavares phenomenon. And both years, they got off to a strong start. They had hiccups throughout the course of the season. So it was, And Kasperi Kapanen's another guy. I heard Mike Babcock giving him praise. He's probably another guy that deserves some praise, but goaltending.
So what you're telling me is it's going to be a slow start, a strong finish for the Maple Leafs. That's what we hope, at least here in Leafs Nation.
Well, I'm hoping for the second part. You say right
yes.
Now I'm seeing the first part that you talk about. And as Mike Babcock said, we got a pretty good schedule now. We got no excuses. We being the Toronto Maple Leafs and have to start playing better. Got to pick it up a little bit.
And so it's been Jason Spezza's lifelong dream, supposedly, to be a Maple Leaf. He had 1-1 in this game. You start to wonder if his days, his minutes could be numbered with the pending returns of John Tavares, Jake Muzzin, Zach Hyman, among others. But on this night in Philadelphia, 1-1 from this man, Jason Spezza.
Jason, what do you see in terms of a tactical approach in the shootout with the ice as bad as it was and everybody getting stopped one-on-one? Were you going in for the deke, as it turned out?
No, you just kind of, I kind of read it just off the goalie's flow, and he'd made some good saves, and you just kind of go with what you think.
Yeah. What do you see on your goal in regulation?
I just whacked in an empty net. Just happy to see it cross the line. Nothing pretty about it, but we got a couple shots on net there. I had a few chances earlier in the game, and nice to see one drop for me.
What does it mean to score your first as a Leaf?
Yeah, it's great. It was a big goal. I'd been in the penalty box for a couple there, and they scored, so it was nice to get it back to tie the game up. And you don't like seeing goals go in when you're in the box. It's a bad feeling. So it was good to get it, and I thought, we got a great first, didn't have a good second, probably because of the penalties, and just got on our heels a little bit. And then pretty competitive third and great kills in overtime. And to win the shootout is huge for us. We need it tonight.
Does that first goal feel like a weight off your back has been lifted in any way?
Yeah, well, a little bit. It's nice to get the first one. You definitely start squeezing your stick a little bit. But, I've been around long enough to know that when chances come, goals will follow. So you just try to create chances and be on the right side of things, and you get rewarded.
With the team in a cap crunch, Kieran Hyman coming back, guys might have to go. Has that been weighing on you at all?
No. I just play and practice every day and do what you're told. And, you try to be a good soldier for the team, and we've had some injuries, and you try to step up when you can. And I haven't thought of it much at all, to be honest.
You scored your first goal in this building?
Yeah. I scored my first in this building, yeah.
Was that a great place for it? Feel any different? The score of the one tonight versus that first one?
The first one felt pretty good. You remember that one forever. I don't know. This one, maybe not as memorable, but it was a big goal at the time and pretty happy with it today. But, the first one's one you never forget.
What stands out to you about Kasperi, who we're going to talk to here in a sec?
Yeah, Cappy's been great. He's flying, and he was making plays out there. He creates the first goal by himself. And just all season, he's been really dynamic, and he's really stepped up, especially with the absence of some of the guys. He's been a big part of, making sure our team's won, and he's a phenomenal player. We all know that.
The frequency of penalties of late, what do you think has caused that? What needs to change?
Yeah, tonight was a couple stick fouls. I think we do have to minimize it. We'll have to look at it. I don't really have an answer for you, to be honest. Tonight mine was a high stick. I can't say I have too many high sticking penalties in my day. And get some D-zone hold. I think we can probably do a better job of drawing things ourselves by being down there a little more. But I don't really have an answer to why exactly we've taken so many the last little bit.
First one's a little prettier than the...
What's that?
Can you take a copy of the first one?
First one, yeah, a little prettier. Nice D-to-D, Redden to Alfredson. He cross-seamed it and put it in on Čechmánek. And don't forget those ones.
Pretty incredible. We're now eliminating the time of Jason Spezza scrums there. But Jason Spezza, his best game as a Maple Leaf, 1-1, Gord.
Yeah, and this is his last game as a Maple Leaf. This is weird because you said, he dreamt of being a Leaf, but not like this. Okay, it's like, you dream, and he dreamt of being a Leaf like he played for the Ottawa, like when he played for the Ottawa Senators. And then tonight's game, he gets the two penalties, and I thought he might get nailed to the bench, but actually Mike Babcock gives him lots of leash. He ends up getting a critical goal in the shootout that keeps the shootout going. And now we're hearing that could be the decision that has to be made once guys come back, Tavares comes back, Hyman comes back. They're so up against the cap that this time in Toronto could be over before we see any snow.
I'm a conspiracy theorist, and it leads me to believe that they're showcasing Spezza. Marincin played over 16 minutes in this game. They're
showcasing him for what?
Another team to trade them a 7th-round pick and get rid of the contract.
Well, that only happens with goaltenders. We saw that with Louis Domingue because
find another job?
Because Schneider got hurt last night. I mean, that's the kind of thing. That's what Michael Hutchinson got traded from Florida last year. I really hope there's a spot for Jason Spezza. I think he'd be pissed. I think he should be pissed off if it doesn't. He signed in good faith, and there would be other offers out there about a certain kind of role that way. And for to start and be behind the eight ball all the time, went against the spirit of what he thought he signed for and what the situation was going to be.
I would love a blueprint on Jason Spezza signing with the Maple Leafs. The blueprint they have on Leafs Nation Network?
Yeah.
If they had a Spezza edition behind the scenes of luring Jason Spezza to Toronto, how that took place.
Well, it would involve a lot of luring because he wanted to come here. I just, if there's not the fit,
just
then what's
no.
the point?
Yeah. I agree. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. We'll take our final break on the night. Once again, we're all happy. The Maple Leafs win at 4-3 in the shootout. Andreas Janssen, 11th round. Other side, we'll take a look around the NHL, 13 other games. That's right, 28 teams in action. And we'll take a look as well to the upcoming week of action. Maple Leafs hosting the Los Angeles Kings coming up on Tuesday night. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
We need to talk about what just happened. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, wrapping things up here on Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. After a 4-3 shootout win for the Maple Leafs, back on the right track in Philadelphia, Andreas Janssen, the shootout winner. You can follow along anytime, any place via Twitter at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick. A very hectic, busy Saturday as per usual, Gord, in the National Hockey League. 14 games, 28 teams in action. We saw a couple of matinee affairs, including a doozy in Pittsburgh between the Penguins and the Oilers. Edmonton winning an OT. Leon Draisaitl, such a heavy, heavy player. So much speed for a big frame as well. His 13th of the season in OT. It always seems like every time we get to the Oilers in overtime, it's a Kevin Quinn OT winner call, and we got it again today, 2-1 for the Oilers in Pittsburgh.
And it's funny, Leon Draisaitl's contract, that was the criticism, that McDavid earned his money. Draisaitl's contract at 8.5 was too high. And then you compare what Marner came in as a second guy under Matthews, and now all of a sudden his contract's a bargain.
It really is incredible. So the Oilers win again, 10-4-1 on the season. Evgeny Malkin returning, by the way. The Penguins now 8-5-1. Meantime, the Rangers pulling out a 2-1 win against the Nashville Predators. Philip Hedel, his second of the year. Ryan Strome, somehow turning into a top-line centerman this year, by the way. It's early on, but finally coming to fruition from his days back with the New York Islanders. His fourth of the year. A 2-1 win for the Rangers there. Alexander Georgiev, outstanding. And Victor Arvidsson, his sixth, and the return of Philip Forsberg in that game.
You know, Philip Hedel being called up as well from the American Hockey League. They had seven players 21 or under the New York Rangers.
Incredible.
So when you talk a rebuild, that's kind of what the Leafs had a couple of years ago, but seven players 21 or under.
And of course, Mika Zibanejad still out of that Rangers lineup right now, which moves Ryan Strome to the number one C role and to play with Jesper Foss and Artemi Panarin. In meantime, the Dallas Stars, a 4-1 win against the Montreal Canadiens on home ice. They're finding their game a tad as of late. Alex Radulov, the former Hab, fifth of the year on the power play. Denis Gurianov had his third and fourth. Miro Heiskanen ices it. Number four, and a nice tidy victory for Ben Bishop and the Dallas Stars here.
Penalty shot as well for Gurianov, one of them. You know what? That game they came back at home against Minnesota, the Dallas fans booed them off when they were down 3-0 or 4-0, and they came back and beat. It was a tough loss for the Minnesota Wild, but this has given them a bit of momentum.
Everybody's looking for that correlation to St. Louis. I don't know how many people keep tweeting me because I cover fantasy hockey. Who's this year's Jordan Binnington? I don't know where you're going to find that person. It hasn't happened ever, and I don't see it happening.
Hope he's in the Leaf organization.
Joseph Woll. There's your answer right there. Speedy recovery and our well wishes out to Scott Sabourin, who left this game between Boston and the Ottawa Senators. Same goes for David Back. It's a scary situation. Sabourin going off on a stretcher, but Boston wins again is the storyline here. A 5-2 win over the Senators. Gord, Boston 10-1-2. Very Tampa-like from last season so far.
David Pastrnak, one goal, stud. Two assists. Yeah, no, you're right. They are the Tampa Bay Lightning right now. They went back to work. There was a crushing Game 7 loss. They went back to work, said, we're going to just channel our energy and stresses in the regular season. Again, you mentioned Sabourin. Good news from the hospital. David Backus literally had to leave the bench. He was in tears. He was so upset about the graphic visual of a guy lying there, and you didn't know what. And it seems like Sabourin has been coming too.
And how about the New York Islanders, scored 9 wins in a row? They've won 10 of 13 to start this season after a 1-0 win in Buffalo against the Sabres, who are 9-4-2. Derek Brassard, his fifth of the year, and Semyon Varlamov, the shutout in that game. Sergei Bobrovsky posts a shutout as well. Panthers 4, Detroit nothing. The Panthers have been strong out of the gates. The Devils finally get a win, a 5-3 win in Carolina at PNC Arena. PK Subban, his second of the year, the eventual game winner. A lot of shutouts in the NHL tonight. David Riddick won as well. 3-0 win for the Flames in Columbus. And Mark Savard, St. Louis Blues, pulling it out in OT at XL Energy Center 4-3 against the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, and a couple of games going on right now, yep. And terrible night in Winnipeg. They're down 3-1 to Vegas. I mean, the Winnipeg Jets, wow, from all that optimism and all that's going on, the Dustin Byfuglien situation where there's obviously than meets the eye. And Arizona bouncing back. They're up 3-0 after two against the Colorado Avalanche. I don't know if they'll hold on, and that would be another shutout. LA Kings are up 2-0 over Chicago. So could that be another one, a big win? The LA Kings, of course, are here on Tuesday.
They are, and just some quick thoughts in about 20 seconds. LA, the opponent on Tuesday night.
John Tavares, he's got to be coming back. Come on. Should have been coming back tonight against Philadelphia. You got to think three more days rest. So that's the best thought you can think about. Home ice, get Johnny T back, the captain, and let's go.
Johnny Toronto, as they call him, inviting you to join us for Leafs Nation postgame following Tuesday night's game. It's the Maple Leafs at home to the Los Angeles Kings, where we hope the captain, John Tavares, will be back. Many thanks to Sam McKee, Anthony Messina, Gord Stellick, of course, a 4-3 shootout win for the Toronto Maple Leafs in the 11th round via Andreas Johnsson. Frederik Andersen was outstanding, but for now, we'll talk to you on Tuesday night, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.